listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Niggas will lose their mind for it, wine for it, dine for it, pussy, spend time for it, see no color line for it, pussy, double pack handicap and go blind for it, pussy, pussy get endless prisoners, pussy always revenging, a pussy is calculating, a pussy is rather dangerous, pussy can be so facetious, the heavyweight champ, pussy is so undefeated, let's amen to that, I mean the pump fakes on Facebook and the screw face when Bay look, won't get you no pussy, I mean the fake chains and the gold names, the insecure, the reassure you not to get pussy.
You, I know. Hold on. He got some lungs.
You overcompensate too much for the pussy. You like to throw all types of shade for the pussy. See, that's what pussy niggas do. I know the ways of the pussy. I see pussy looking at you. How many niggas get mistaken for clitoris in a day? How many sentiments you make before running pussy away? How many times she gonna tell you that dick is disposable? But if she fuck a young nigga like me, it's over for you. Solana middle fingers are speaking truth. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. But a bum nigga like you would try it. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We do have Twitter accounts.
Yes.
We forget to plug them all the time. Oh, I do. Rodimus Prime is my Twitter account. You can catch me on there filling up your feed with nonsense. Karen?
Mine is Say Dat Again. Dat as in D-A-T.
And, the show Twitter is TBGWT. So, and it's pretty much TBGWT everywhere. So, mm-hmm. Instagram, everywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, make sure you check all that out. TheBlackGuyWhoTips.com is where you can go for the central hub of the podcast. Sign up to be premium. Listen to all the shows from there. They're on the website for free. Not the premium shows, but the like archives of our actual shows. Mm-hmm. Search any episode and hit the play button right beneath the poll. I already said the official weapon and stuff.
The taser.
And the unofficial sport.
It's Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. Today's podcast brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions has a YouTube page. Go to youtube.com/Shadow Dog Productions. And just, you know, hook them up, man. Like, click things, like things, share their videos. I mean, it's very easy. We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. All right, let's get into the show. All kinds of news is happening.
Okay.
This one is kind of a wild, scary one. So, I was gonna put this in Guess the Race, but I'm not even really gonna joke about it.
Okay.
Just because of some of the comments I've seen around this story.
Okay.
So there was this, black dude who apparently was a serial killer in like the New York City area, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he killed like 7 women. He was arrested in connection with the death of several women he met on online dating sites. Oh wait, I'm sorry, Los Angeles. I said New York. Anyway, Drayton was arrested by Los Angeles Police Department after being linked to several rape and murder cases. Investigators believe Drayton used dating websites to hook up with unsuspecting women who he rapes and sometimes murders. Authorities claim investigations have linked Drayton to as many as 7 murders, with the pattern being the same. He hails from Connecticut. He was arrested after being found wanting in the murder of a practicing nurse who was found dead in her New York City home. Also, I guess he fled to Los Angeles or something.
Mm.
Okay. That was July 17th that they found her dead. The nurse was identified as Samantha Stewart, 29 years old. It was further reported that the police that Stewart was reported dead after being in close contact with a man she met on the dating app Tinder. He's currently behind bars. His bail is set for $1.25 million after he's arrested in North Hollywood on Tuesday, July 24th, for attempted murder, penetration with a foreign object, and false imprisonment after a woman was found locked up and battered in the area.
Ooh.
Yeah. And this dude was like a bit of a chameleon, quote unquote. They talked to one of the women who had met him, you know. He seemed nice, a good listener who was interested in her work with the disabled. Azenia Barney, 26, met Danielle Drayton in the dating app Plenty of Fish, November 2017. He wooed her with his big vocabulary and ability to fix cars. There weren't any issues, nothing awkward, she said in an exclusive interview with the Daily News. He was a cool guy, but in the end, he slashed her tires, threatened to cut her brake lines, and tried to strangle her in a park in Inwood, L.I., not far from her home, Long Island, I guess. She was one of the lucky ones. Yeah, listen, men are fucking dangerous.
Yes, they are.
And just the idea of being around dating men means you enter into this like Russian roulette with these with just men. Like, you really don't know who the fucking dangerous ones are. And our obsession with blaming women for whatever happens to them lets men off the hook. We consistently do, well, you gotta be careful, sis, you never know who you're dating, you know, shit like that, as opposed to like, yo, are y'all checking on your homeboys? Who's this dude's friends? Who's like, who raised this guy? You know, these questions. I mean, he might just be batshit crazy and a serial killer. I'm not trying to say that every man is like this, but just the commentary I've seen around this shit is not, is bigger than him.
Of course.
People that claim to not be crazy have been trying to find ways to put women, to say women are the issue in this, in these stories. Like, what's wrong with these women? You know, as opposed to this dude. You know, when people talk about rape culture, this is what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we can take a story where a guy has assaulted and killed multiple women and go, somehow, some way, this is still on women as the brand to as their fault. So yeah, he's a confessed serial killer, so there's no ambiguity here. He pleaded guilty Monday to charges he raped and attempted to kill a 28-year-old woman who he held captive July 23rd in North Hollywood, California. Barney's close call came June 13th when Drayton when Drayton told her he was moving west to California. They dated for 6 months and Drayton wanted to see her one last time. So they had dated. Who knows how many other women he was capable of dating people. Like, it wasn't simply just Tinder or whatever. They met at Chipotle for lunch. Drayton didn't eat. He asked me, are you seeing anyone? She told him she wasn't, and he seemed to accept that. Then they drove around the car for a while till she told him she had errands to run. He was like, can I chill with you the whole day? I said no. So he said, take me to the park, I have to get a bag of clothes. What? He said he left a bag in Inwood Park, Long Island, across Jamaica Bay from Kennedy Airport to pick her up later. I parked my car at the entrance of the park. I put my car in drive. My seatbelt was still on. Door still locked. Then I told him to go. He looked at me and said, so we're really not going to go get back together? You don't ever see a future? Barney said it was time to put a foot down. It was time for her to break off with him for good. My tone was probably a little aggressive. I was being firm. Drayton got out the car, but then Paul started digging around his pockets, pretending he lost his phone charger. I don't know, she said. I gotta go. Can you close the door? That's when he jumped her. He just hopped across into my car, both knees on my knees, and started strangling me. Everything happened so fast. He was choking me, saying, fucking bitch, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna kill you. No, no, I told you, it's just me and you. As Barney struggled for breath, her mind switched to survival mode. She unfastened the seatbelt, tried to open the car door. That's when he grabbed the door, tried to close it, but he had one hand on my throat. She said she finally threw herself out of the vehicle. Three factory workers passing by saw her and asked if everything was all right. No, he's trying to kill me. The man pulled Drayton off of her and called the police. Drayton wasn't arrested for reasons that remain unclear. How the fuck could the police not arrest somebody that tried to kill somebody with three witnesses?
Because you know how a lot of times they'd be like, well, that's just y'all problems. You know, because that's how they treat shit like that. They treat it like we didn't witness it, so you know, couples just fight.
Yeah, you had three men there to witness it, so you know, that normally meets the requirements, right? Well, hey, it's three men, so clearly things must be serious.
Does he have any connections? Like, who is he? I mean, you know what I'm saying? For them to be like, fuck it, we ain't pressing no charges.
Yeah, you never really see this. At least, I mean, I shouldn't say you never really see this. Maybe it happens all the time and we're just not privy of it with the lies we lead.
Correct.
But maybe this is a constant thing that, you know, people are, you know, we always say call the police, report shit, and maybe people are reporting it and this is still the answer you're getting from folks.
Correct. And it's also one of the things too, you know, the victim was a black woman, and you know, when brown women get abused, it's not taken as seriously either.
Right. It could be as simple as that. So then he wasn't arrested. Police took Barney back to her apartment. She ran inside, packed the bags, left home with a 3-year-old son. She was afraid Drayton would come back looking for her. She right. was right to fear him. The next day he kept calling me, kept popping up by my house telling me he was going to kill my son. He slashed her tires, threatened to cut her brake line, all the while messaging her online. I'm going to set your car on fire. You mad? You mad? Their first dates didn't pretend violence. He seemed nice. He was a good listener. I don't know if he was pretending, but he would act like he was interested in what I do for a living, and he was charming. His vocabulary is very expansive. The way he carried conversations, he would draw you more into him. Police say Drayton met women on dating sites and apps like Tinder and Plenty of Fish. He lived in Connecticut, and she lived in Long Island, so it was a month before they met. Needed a new motor for my 2003 Nissan Murano. She said he knew somebody who could fix. Oh, he said he knew somebody who could fix it that I could pay a cheaper price. So I drove to Connecticut. They ended up hitting it off and they spent the night talking. It wasn't intimate. We were just laughing and talking the whole time. Despite the distance between them, they started dating. Everything seemed to go well until April. We had a fallout because he was using Plenty of Fish and he was talking to another woman from Brooklyn. He left the phone in the car and it started ringing, and this girl's name Sherry came up, so I answered it and it was another woman. She wasn't going to put up with that, so she broke up with him because she caught him quote unquote cheating.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I drew the line. I told him we could be friends from here, but just to be honest with me, he was like, oh, it was nothing, it was just a girl from Brooklyn. She wasn't convinced. She broke it off but promised they could stay friends, but Drayton wouldn't take no for an answer. He was still trying to get me. In his mind, he was thinking we could still get back together. So he would do anything and everything. He would pop over my house, buy me a suitcase full of sneakers, give me money to pay my bills. But Barney believed the relationship was over. She tried to let him down slowly. Here's another thing. Even if he wouldn't have been a serial killer, this behavior is not that uncommon in a lot of dudes.
No, it's not.
Like this whole I don't take no for an answer, I'm gonna be persistent, you belong to me type of behavior, that shit ain't that far-fetched. Mm-hmm. Every woman you know has a story of some nigga like this.
A lot of dudes feel like once I put my dick in you, it's ownership, and you like, you don't own me. Even married couples, you don't own each other, you are individuals, and if one party decides to leave, that's their choice.
Right. He took my landlord's ladder and tried to climb through my window. He would act like he was doing stuff to my car so I would come outside and he could see me, but I didn't budge. So he's a full-blown stalker at this point. Police finally arrested him for assaulting Barney on June 30th and charged him with strangulation and criminal trespass. He was ordered and held on bail for $2,000, but on July 5th, the county officials let him go. No one told Barney he'd been freed. They just let him go, didn't warn her that we just let this dude go.
Right.
I was shocked. He was released. Drayton had eluded authorities before. Weeks before the Samantha Stewart killing, he had skipped meetings with his Connecticut probation officer required as part of his sentence on harassment charges. Drayton served 4.5 years of Connecticut prison on charges including second-degree strangulation, unlawful restraint, and violating a restraining order. Yeah, if you know the dude's real name and shit, like, this is so fucking scary that he's using his real name and still able to get access to all these people, and he got that on his books. Like, wow. They should have never released him after everything he did, Barney said. The man showed every sign of aggression. I was so hurt. He was around my family. He introduced me to all his friends in Connecticut, but she never saw it coming. They said he was a stand-up guy, she said.
Of course, because a lot of times, the thing about people that are like this, they're not like this to everybody, so that's why you have people coming out to Woodward's. He's such a nice, but baby, he not whooping your ass. He not beating you. He not strangling you. You do not know what people do behind closed doors, you know. And a lot of times they do this just for the cover because it's people's first instinct to come out and just assume that everybody that they meet is a nice person. But you don't know people. Like, you really don't know people. Particularly somebody that you don't have a real close relationship, because a lot of times people that come out just friends, sometimes they're family, but even your family members, they don't really know what you do outside of the interaction that they have with you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, some of the commentary around it was weird. Just listening to people talk about it, that were especially men trying to be on some like, this why you gotta be careful who you dating, and women, y'all need to do this and be nice and shit like that.
Yeah, that be nice shit. Kiss my ass with that. Kiss my motherfucking whole ass. I don't have to be fucking nice to nobody. I don't have to be nice. And my thing is, it's funny though, when it comes to that, because you're basically telling me not to hurt your fucking feelings, not to tell you no. That's basically what you're saying. You're saying that as a woman, you don't have a right to tell a man that he does not have access to you. As a woman, you don't have the right to tell a man to get off me, leave me alone. You don't have the right to. And sometimes, in some situations, you have to, as a woman, which is sad, you have to be aggressive and mean mug and get the ugly face at some dudes because you start smiling as a fucking invitation for them to come over when you don't want to be bothered. You know, like I say yesterday how, not yesterday, but how I said on the show before, how black people just want to live. Sometimes women just want to live. They just want to walk the fucking street and not be bothered. Yes, she got a big ass and nice titties and thighs, and yes, she's in her yoga pants, but you know what? She wants to walk down the street and mind her fucking business, and she didn't ask you to come over there and bother her.
Also, you're talking about a fucking serial killer,
right?
I mean, not to say that there's other situations where it's more reasonable, because I don't think it's reasonable with street harassment and nobody owes you kindness for whatever the fuck, for the fact that you're a man and you walk over to them,
right?
And I do understand there are some women that are rude, quote unquote, and it has nothing, like, that has no bearing on anything. Like, yes, a woman can be rude, but the idea of bringing that up while you're talking about a fucking serial killer, you talking about someone that kills people or threatens people, stalks people, violently beats people and rapes people, and you're going, be nice for what? To make myself better prey?
Right. And you let this be the other way around. You let this dude go and friend straight dudes and rape them and fuck them up. You know what? Dudes be like, I fucked that nigga up. You would never put your hands on me, but you want me to be nice, nigga? Fuck you.
It's like saying, hey, look, when you're dealing with a lion, just slather yourself in barbecue sauce. Don't fight it. You know, just get it over with. Like, right. Get the fuck out of here. So, one post I saw, this dude deleted his whole account. I'm assuming it's a dude. But there was this Facebook page called Hire Ex-Offenders Ministries with a picture of Martin Luther King and his mugshot. Basically, I would imagine their page is about, hey, people have committed crimes. It doesn't mean they can't be a part of society. It doesn't mean they should not be able to be hired. Things are given a second chance, things of this nature. I believe in all those things. I do. I honestly do. The problem is when you go outside of your lane. So he posted the picture of the serial killer dude in this story and said, not making excuses for his alleged crimes, but. So already, right there, you done fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly come after that that is worth hearing?
Nothing.
There should be a little voice in your head.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Hit the crap!
That should have been a little voice that just said that.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know what? Nah. No, I'm not gonna say.
Let me delete this post.
I probably can't come up with a good defense.
Mm-mm.
But instead, not making excuses for his alleged crimes, but this post is just a reminder to be nice when dating. There are women who will allow a man to spend big money buying her expensive drinks and dinners, and then give him the wrong phone number and laugh about it with her girlfriends, or publicly make fun of his sexual performance after he's done so much for her. First of all, I feel like you're telling on yourself.
Yeah, and you feel like
insecure?
Fucking ownership. You know, women give wrong numbers for fucking safety too.
Right. Keep in mind, we never have these conversations with men.
Right.
Right away, be nice when dating is to women.
Correct.
And you're talking about a serial killer who killed the women.
Right. You know how many fucking men are rude to fucking women all the time?
Or talk about women behind their back after they fuck them and shit?
Come on. They be all greasy to women, throwing drinks on women and shit like that. Come on, dog. I mean, if we gonna talk about be nice needs to go both fucking ways too.
Right. That's only a woman thing. Men don't do this. Okay. Also, if you read the story, the dude spent money on her after cheating on her, essentially. And it didn't say she accepted any of this shit. Like, she didn't make him, she said, I want to break up, I don't want to be with you. And he was like, let me buy you a box of shoes, let me try to pay your rent, you need some help with that car. And she's like, no. And you're sitting up here going, why would you let him buy you a drink? because I didn't know he was fucking crazy at first. That's not how the crazy works.
Nope.
It's not like they show up to the first date and go, I'm gonna kill you. Like, they like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it never works like that. And it's amazing, because I've realized that some people, I've come to the understanding that some people do not know how abusive people function. They act like it's a jump out the bush. The first day I meet you, you're like, I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch. It never, ever, ever, ever works like that.
Men are fucking scary, man.
Right.
It's not just him. It's the people of defending him, of trying to find some way to talk about him and go, but I'm not, you know, I'm not, no offense, but he got a point type shit. And you're like, why are there even men who think like that?
Correct.
We can't draw the line at serial killers. Are any of y'all sitting around thinking Jeffrey Dahmer was cool? He ate a bunch of black dudes' dicks and brains and shit. And I've never seen any black man make any argument, even with those being gay black men. I haven't seen any black man ever make this argument like, well, look, man, they just need to be more careful who they dating. Because it's like, oh, nigga, that could have been me. I don't know. That dude was just crazy. Right.
When it could have been you, for some reason, the attitude changes. When you know that you'll never be the victim, you don't give a fuck.
Right. They act like the dude shows up and he's like, oh, fava beans and a nice Chianti. Right, like on the first date. Like, nigga, you don't know? That's what's scary about men. You don't fucking know.
Nope.
Like, all the fucking, like, imagine, think about how men talk about crazy women. Right? I'm not saying there's no crazy women. I'm saying if a man has a run-in with a woman who does something like pop up at his job or stalks him or threatens him or something, we talk about them women at like the fucking devil, like they infamously, like they will tell complete strangers, like, oh, you know that bitch crazy. Like, they will do that. But when the shoe is on the other foot, we will make every excuse for that dude. Well, maybe you shouldn't have went out with him. Well, I didn't know he was gonna stalk me. I wouldn't have if I had fucking a time machine.
If I would have known,
you know. Nobody ever seems to talk about how much cruelty on dates can trigger a man into wanting to get some cruel revenge against women.
Cruelty that sounds like a him problem, not a me problem.
Cruelty on dates. So were all seven of these women cruel to him that he killed? Is that the story we're running with? Because you're already giving him some logic to his point of view, an empathy for him that you do not provide for women.
Mm-mm.
After all, when women commit violent crimes against men, everybody says he must have did something to deserve it. And then he put the shrug emoji.
All jokes aside, there are women that violently kill men. Don't get me wrong. But most women, I watch Snap and some of these other shows. Most of the time, we kill men, but we don't. A lot of times, violence is the last result.
You know what? Let me just clarify it for you. Let me just clean it up, okay? Before we even get into all that, with justifying when women kill men and shit, it's not about justifying them.
No, it's not.
It's power dynamics.
Right.
It's the same reason, and all these niggas can understand, which is why I'm not even trying to fucking have it out with these, especially, I'm talking specifically to black men in this instance. The same reason y'all pulled for OJ. It's not even deep. You don't even have to get into, oh, let me explain why when the women do it. The same reason y'all knew OJ killed them people and went, ha ha, he got away with one, is the same reason that Snapped exists and nobody's fucking offended, because everybody's like, I mean, men kill women every day, 3 and 4 times a fucking day in America.
Come on.
In domestic violence situations. If a woman kills a man in a domestic situation and it happens so few times, you can literally make an hour documentary about each one, then it might be a little different. It might be received a little differently. Not saying that it's okay. Obviously, they go to jail. They have the shows aren't. The show isn't called Snap Our Heroes. It's Snap. This woman went crazy and snapped.
Mom.
But it's something about the fact that men are so fucking fragile because of our privilege that we're like, but it has to be fair. You need to feel the same way when it happens to me. It's like, that's not how that happens, because you don't provide that empathy and sympathy ever for women that go through this shit. It's always their fault. Why'd you date them? Why'd you go out with them? What were you wearing? Why'd you go over there? Why were you in that part of town? Why was it was so late? It's always some reason. And like, one dude was in my mentions over this shit talking about, yeah, I understand where he coming from, but you can't just be killing bitches. And I said, what you're saying is not really much better than what that dude said that you claim is wrong. And so his defense after going back and forth for a while was, well, I'm 21. I said, but you 21 and you already know better. This is not that thing where you go, I'm 21, I didn't know better, and then once I learned better, I stopped acting like that. No, you're saying I'm 21, so I'm just gonna call women bitches, even in a situation where I'm talking about women being killed and how it's wrong to do it. I'm gonna be like, I have to add that part in there, cause, and that's the masculinity that we are like boxed into, that a lot of men willingly inhabit, and that is that part of that masculinity. Because what he wanted to say, in my mind, is this is wrong, it's appalling, it's scary, and I've had things happen to me on dates with women where I felt it was rude or wrong or disrespectful or whatever, but you can't be out here doing what this dude is doing.
And that's what you just sort of said.
He could have said that. But that wall you have to put up so that you can get that dap from your brothers is this wall of misogyny and disrespect towards women and violence. So you have to be like, I mean, you can't be killing bitches. And it's like, well, you just defeated your whole fucking point.
Yes, you did.
Like, there was another way to phrase that, and everybody would have been like, well, yeah. Because I don't think, you know, underlying all this shit, for a lot of men, is this fragility, this hurt. A lot of men get hurt and they don't have the tools to deal with being hurt. Despite being coddled from birth, for most of us, we don't have the tools. We never really get the tools. We kind of farm out our mental health to the women and other people in our lives, like,
mm-hmm. And let them have to deal with the aftermath of right. You being fucked up,
right? So we don't even have the tools to be like, this woman really hurt my feelings. A lot of people can identify with you got your feelings hurt,
right?
Men, and guess what, surprisingly, men, women, non-binary people of all genders, every human being on this earth, you make it to a certain age, you are going to get your feelings hurt romantically at some point. We can all relate to that shit. If you don't try to hide it behind a veneer of I'm such a cool, unbothered, unemotionless man, then you find out the whole world can open up to you. But men specifically, and you know, and I'm not saying it's just like on men, I think society has done this,
right?
But men specifically are not supposed to feel. Mm-mm. So if a woman does some wild shit, like, I don't know, you pay for dinner or whatever, and then she leaves before you can even finish whatever, I don't know, like she gets a call from another nigga and goes, I got a dick appointment, bye, and leaves in the middle of dinner, your feelings might be hurt. That's not an unreasonable thing to be hurt by. And if it happened to the other way around, I'm sure that person would be hurt. Is being hurt isn't the problem. Mm-mm. What happens is men use hurt as a license to be violent, a license to be emotionally abusive, a license to be physically abusive, a license to sexually assault people. It becomes this whole other fucking thing because we refuse to deal with our hurt by going home and listening to John Mayer and crying or some shit.
Come on, or Drake or whatever it is you listen to.
Calling your homeboy and be like, can we go out for a drink, and crying on his shoulder or some shit. Mm-hmm. We don't do that part, so we do if we go talk to our homeboys, you know, we say, man, these bitches ain't shit, these fucking, you know, that's what's wrong with hoes. And we don't have that extra tool of like, nah, I should probably just need to cry about this shit or be mad and block her on Twitter or whatever and just let that go, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of times for self-protection, for one, and then also slightly, yes, because of gender wars, people don't really want to see men complain about shit like that, even if they're putting it in a reasonable way, because our society hasn't prepared us for that shit either, because normally we're used to men lashing out.
Correct.
So if that dude would be like, yo man, I got my feelings hurt, this girl just dipped in me in the middle of a date, we would be like, oh, you bitch ass nigga. A lot of people would be like that, like, oh, this old bitch ass nigga, oh, so you gotta let her on a date, well, let me tell you what happened to me in 87, I was strangled, you know. And it's like, well, now we've made it so that we've basically re-encouraged that person to bottle that shit up, which I don't think is healthy.
No,
you know, but I don't think it's necessarily comparable as far as like saying it's one-to-one. Women have a much harrowing experience when dealing with dating men, if they're inclined to date men, than the other way around. It's the truth. you know, and you have to learn how to, you can voice these things, but you have to be careful how you voice them and shit. And instead you got men doing stuff like caping for a serial killer rather than to be like, this dude was crazy and there's nothing any woman could have done, I'm just glad they caught him. Like, who knows, especially when somebody's capable of faking sincerity like that, like capable of faking the I'm a good guy shit. Like, that's the scariest kind of person in the world. So yeah, I it was just, that was scary. I don't know if all the women he targeted were black and brown, but I know at least a few of them were from the pictures and shit. So, you know, maybe that's why he even got away with 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You need me to invite you back on screen or something?
I've been trying to come back on. The computer cutting up. I had to reboot it.
Okay, all right. I just saw you looking at me like you was gonna say something. Mm. Okay, all right. Well, did you have anything else to add to that? Or are you good?
Overall, I'm good. It's also one of those things too, to when, you know, because there are a lot of hurt dudes, and dudes do express their sadness, and most women don't mind dudes expressing their sadness. The problem is that when dudes express their sadness, sometimes their sadness is even misogynistic, where their sadness is actually presented in a manner where it comes off as still you bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to be hurt, but like the nerd dudes, for example, you know, and not all, but you know how, you know, some periodically that come out of woodworks and they'll talk about, you know, these things that happened to them when they was younger. Nope, not a problem with that, because it comes from hurt, it comes from pain, people understand that. But when you take that hurt and pain and you still quote unquote lashing out online to all the other women that quote unquote didn't pick you and didn't choose you, those women ain't got nothing to do with that one woman.
Yeah, and so the extreme of this man is he's a serial killer and a rapist, right? There's a lot of abusive shit that happens along that spectrum that is not those specific criminal acts that is just as fucking scary,
right?
Think about all the stalking shit he got to do before he was arrested. They arrested him, they let him go, they caught him strangling her, they didn't even arrest him right away. He stalked her, he damaged her car, he threatened the life of her son. These are all digital traceable things. They let him out of jail, they didn't even tell her, and she's just one woman. He killed 7 women
that we know of.
Right, she's just one. In between all that, there's 7 other people he actually killed. You know, like, this is like, if how the fuck are we supposed to act like women aren't supposed to be scared of us?
Right.
You know, like, oh, I can't believe these bitches on these dates. I remember people got mad at a woman who tweeted that she took a picture of a man's license plate and sent it to her friend for going on a date.
A lot of women do that for safety reasons.
You have to. And the dude got offended, and people online were offended too. Why are you going on a date if I don't trust you? Niggas, date one, I don't trust you.
Right. How am I supposed to trust you? And I've had somebody tell me about a story like that. They were saying that they had went out with somebody and they had took a picture of his tag, and the person, the dude, copped the attitude. They was like, well, I guess we won't be going dating, and they left.
And when it happens the other way, you don't take a picture or anything, you don't tell your friend, and something happens to her, what do we say? What's wrong with her? She's stupid. Why did you trust that dude?
Right. And then come to find out, the person that copped the attitude with her, a week or two later, he ended up raping somebody. So she was just like, no, I will take pictures of your tag. It put like this, if you don't have nothing to hide, you don't care nothing about that. Yes, I want people to know what car you're driving, your tag. Yes, I want people to know, you know. And then people wonder why women have these tactics that they use, and dudes want to act like there's something wrong with quote unquote them bitches for using tactics like having 2 telephone numbers. Yeah, you got your regular telephone number, but then you got a Google number, because you give them that number, niggas will call that number. So you have that number forwarded to your phone, so when they call, yes, it will ring, but when push come to shove, I don't really bother with you. I don't have to pick it up because it's not my real telephone number. Shit like that, you know. And then you wonder why women do tactics like are always in groups, never walk alone. You know, you have to use these type of tactics because I don't know what kind of dude that I'm facing with and I'm coming up against. And, you know, dudes as a whole have a pack mentality, and because they don't do it and their friends don't do it and they start defending, and then they look at me like I'm crazy when I just accuse everybody in the group of doing the same thing, just like we accuse the police. You know, it's the same thing. You know, but, you know, when it's quote unquote men, you get in your feelings and all of a sudden, you know, almost like when you call a white person white, you're like, oh my gosh, how dare you? When, you know, you have to look at the reality of it.
Yeah, it's really scary. You don't know these niggas. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you, something happens to you, it will be blamed on a woman.
Yes.
So we don't even have like a fair society where they would go, well, that dude was the problem. Why was he on these streets? What was going on? Who enabled this guy to be violent and like be like this? No, it's the woman. So it's funny, the main people that I guarantee you that fucking higher ex-offender ministries dude, I will bet you money he would be pissed if he heard somebody say men are trash. I guarantee you. And yet, what was his description if not the exact reasoning for why men are trash? If you are rude out, you might get killed and raped. So don't be rude on dates. Don't let him buy you some food and then say that his sex isn't good, because that might lead to a serial killer or something, and that's okay. Like, I mean, he shouldn't kill him, but you know, I'm just saying all his reasons were valid. Mm-mm. But he shouldn't have did it.
You can't explain crazy, baby.
But then you would turn around and be like, I can't, I'm so offended y'all would say black men are the white people or black people. I'm so offended you would say men are trash. I'm so offended you say there's black male privilege. I'm so offended at you. Why would you say something like that? Because nobody's justifying this shit the other way. There's not even a thing that exists like this, by the way, the other way. There is no counterfactual of, there's this woman that went on date with men and killed seven of them because she just was you know, tired of them having attitudes. There's never been a counterfactual.
I mean, honey, dudes don't fail to realize, honey, and I think that like I said, similar to white people, you fear that if women was in the place where they had the power, they would do the same thing that y'all do to them, and that's why a lot of men panic.
Yeah, you can never know these motherfuckers. That's just correct. The truth of the matter is, and I've recognized that in my own life, like, I understand that a lot of my friendships have there's like a ceiling to the friendship because I'm a man, they're a woman, and I don't blame them to not trust niggas. Like, that, like, I will never be offended at any of that shit. Like, if it's like, well, I don't want to come over there because it might be alone, I'm like, you know what? That's a valid fucking point. Can you wait till we can go out with Karen or something? Like, I'm fine with that. Or we, you know, I understand that shit, you know, because motherfuckers are creepy.
Come on.
And you don't know, like, I know men because I'm a man, and that's the socialized group I've been around my whole life. So I've seen the depraved shit that niggas can do. You know what I mean? I've heard the stories and shit. And then also being friends with a lot of women, I've heard the other side of the story, which is, oh, that dude that you think is cool, yeah, he just sent me his dick randomly one day, my direct message. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
unprovoked.
Yeah, and I've never been like, he would never do that. I'm just always kind of like, what? Wow, you just never fucking know these niggas. Mm-mm. So you can't blame anybody, but yet somehow the blame always goes to the woman when they do bring up some blame. It's never to the dude for like, what the fuck are you doing being creepy? You know, it's always to the woman for like, what you doing letting him DM you?
A DM that I didn't ask for, no request.
Right. Gun rights activists post plans for 3D firearms after a judge's order blocking them. A coalition of gun rights advocates challenged a federal judge's order temporarily barring a Texas company from publishing blueprints on the web to make untraceable 3D printed guns by publishing similar blueprints itself on Tuesday, saying such publications were protected by the First Amendment.
This whole thing is some motherfucking bullshit, because this came up underneath the Obama administration, and Obama was like, the hell you is? No. Like, he was like, y'all will not be doing this. No. Mm-hmm. And then Trump came along and basically made a deal with the people and basically allowed them to do this. And that's why they're doing it.
What scares me is you would think like the NRA or these gun companies would be fighting this kind of shit,
right? Because don't you want them to buy the real guns?
But it don't seem like they are, which, I mean, I don't know. It's just the love of guns.
It is. It is.
Because, I mean, obviously, this is going to make it incredibly hard to keep guns out of the arms of people that you claim, you know, hey, all these laws we have on the books that make guns safe in America, quote unquote, keeping the guns out of the hands of bad guys, which we already do a shitty job of. Well, now you got untraceable guns you can print in your own house.
Yeah, and so now, as a nigga, I gotta be afraid of real bullets and 3D bullets. Fuck you.
During the Obama administration, publication for plans for 3D guns was barred under the interpretation of the federal exports law that banned foreign distribution of firearms. Defense challenged the interpretation in June. The State Department reversed the course. It issued a letter last week agreeing to make such blueprints public, didn't violate the export law. In a 7-page ruling issued Tuesday in Seattle, Lasnik acknowledged that the First, Second, and Fifth Amendments to the Constitution raised legitimate questions about banning publication. But Lasnik wrote that it was up to the courts to rule on those issues, and that in the meantime, the 8 state attorneys generals who have sued to make the ban permanent are likely to suffer irreparable harm in the absence of preliminary relief. He scheduled another hearing August 10th. In response, 5 gun rights activist groups based in California and Washington state posted a website called Code is Free Speech. Along with what it advertised were CAD blueprints for several high power firearms, including the AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, the AR-10 battle rifle, and the Beretta 92FS semi-automatic pistol.
That you can make a 3D print of, right?
Yes. They're gonna make 3D guns that are this way.
And my thing is this. So, what happened when people start shooting each other with these untraceable guns? Cause that's what's gonna happen.
Right.
Like that's what's gonna happen. What
how do you even do ballistics tests for these?
Right. What happened the first time somebody gets mad at somebody cause they ran a stop sign or they have a wreck and they come out bucking this fake gun?
Yep. Some people say stuff like, it may not work, but what if it does work? It only gotta work one time, technically. What if it doesn't work? It blows up and hurts somebody.
Yeah, who's gonna be held accountable? Who's gonna be like, what are the logistics? Like, y'all don't even have good laws on real fucking guns.
Right. What if, somebody fucking, plants one of these on somebody? What if somebody tries to take one of these in the airport or some shit?
Get
what if
someone
tries to bring this in the club where, you know, a metal detector can't detect it right. Necessarily? Like, it's just a bunch of questions that we just don't need. And I mean, I understand it's just a drop in the bucket compared to how easy it is to get real guns for regular people, but I don't understand why we would go, well, since we fucked that up, let's continue to fuck up. It seems kind of counterproductive, but that's just my thinking.
Right. And like you say, the NRA should be like, oh hell no, we want the money for the real guns and the real bullets.
That's like, what you would think.
From their perspective, it doesn't make any financial and fiscal sense.
That's what you would think, man. Blind Exeter man accidentally grabs a huge python after it slithers out of his out of his toilet.
Oh.
Stewart was completely oblivious to the danger, even attempting to pick up the python, assuming it was insulation. A blind Exeter man has spoken of his complete and utter shock after an 8-foot python slid through the plumbing of his bathroom and into his bath. Oh wait, through the plumbing of his loo and into his bathroom. The terrifying ordeal happened last Sunday. And because of his disability, Stuart Sanders is mostly oblivious to the silent danger lurking inside his Market Street flat in the city center.
Oh, because he couldn't see it.
I think we just found our script. If Chris is listening to this,
come on.
I think we found the hook for Toilet Snakes. That
I can't wait for this movie.
This now takes us over the edge into what we really need to see, okay? Toilet snakes. The protagonist can't see the snake. And worryingly, where reticulated python, which at full size can be deadly, came from, remains a complete mystery. So they don't even know where it came from. Stewart, who's been blind since birth, explained to Devin Live, or maybe live, how the incredible scenes unfolded around 10 p.m. I was laying on my recliner chair listening to music. Well, the next minute I heard crash, crash, and things again falling in the bathroom.
Oh shit.
After Rilo went to the bathroom to pick them up, I thought the wind or the window may have blown them over. A toothbrush, a glass, a bottle of bleach, shampoo had all fallen down. When I picked them up, I noticed the thing on the floor was like insulation had come up. I went forward and picked it up, but it was too heavy. I rang my support worker on the intercom and said, I've got a bit of a mess over. They came and they said, you got a snake in your bathroom.
Oh shit. So he called for help going, I can't pick this up. And it was like, baby, this is bigger. You didn't realize it.
It left the bathroom in an awful mess with grunge on the wall. The whole bathroom had to be deep cleaned. Before the incident, Stewart had never even handled a reptile, even knowingly. Wow. I have never ever had a snake in my bathroom. I was so amazed. I thought, how did it get there? Stewart's friend, the social worker Jason, was absolutely gobsmacked by the discovery. He said, I walked in, I opened the door thinking of a bottle of bleach had fallen on the floor or something, and there was this massive snake curled up. I had to actually walk in and out again because I just could not believe it. Nearby Exeter Exotics is now looking after the python. It's not the first time python has terrified shock residents of Exeter. In August last year, the escape of a 14-foot African rock python called Satan prompted the evacuation of a block of flats in Hill Barton.
I know the fuck it did. And a lot of times people get these animals as pets and then don't want them no more and put them down the drain or dump them, and they just grow and get big.
The snake was eventually found by its 20-year-old owner with the assistance of a fire service, snake eye cameras, and local reptile experts. One petrified resident, Karen Turner, described the ordeal as unreal. She said she was woken by Samuel banging on the door shortly after midnight. The lad who owns it said he had the snake in the bath because it had recently shed its skin. He told me he had taken his eyes off of it for 5 minutes, and when he returned and went behind the loo and into the building. I have just had 4 teeth out and I was on anesthetic, so it was almost like I couldn't panic. Instead, I grabbed my quilt, went, and slept in my car. There was no way I was standing there.
Come on.
I stupidly sat there and googled the snake. It's rare, but they have been known to hunt humans, and it's known as an aggressive snake, which is hard to handle. Damn.
He found a snake. I found a cricket in mine one time. Like, I went to the bathroom and I wasn't paying no attention. I went to the bathroom, pissed, looked down, and there was a cricket hopping in there. Well, he got pissed on him, and I flushed his ass right on back down the toilet where he came from.
Yeah,
and the cricket was enough.
Yeah, how do snakes even breathe in the sewer pipes to make it back out? That's wild, man. I don't know how that works, but that's scary. All right, let's talk about other news. Let me see where I want to go next. I guess we can do some fucking with black people.
I don't know if it's gonna be as fun as yesterday.
Well, you know what, it's never really fun, but
I mean, it's never really fun, but 3-0. Come on. So that's why it was a good day.
Yeah.
We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, find different articles to make us feel fucked with. The wheel side point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. This story here is literally about fucking with black people.
Oh, shit.
What interracial cuckold porn reveals about white male insecurity.
Okay. All right. There's a whole genre of porn out there for you people that don't know.
Yeah, this is on Broadly.
And it'd be the number one hit, too. You go on the site, you be like, God damn.
Written by Zoe Simonzi. In July 2017, director James Camp allegedly twice asked porn actor Mo the Monster, we covered this on the show, he would consent to being called the N-word by his white co-star, a woman who performs Ryan Connor, according to a lawsuit later filed by Mo. Camp allegedly told Mo that fans enjoy hearing that word in the scenes and that Connor was fine with saying it. Each time Mo refused, yet in the video uploaded to porn site dogfart.com, Connor, who Mo alleges was present during both conversations, can be heard during the money shot, the ejaculation scene, saying, give me that nigger load, give me all of that nigger cum. In May, Mosu Camp and DF Productions, Inc., the company behind the production and publishing of the video for Fraud, Negligence, and Racial Harassment, I've shot over 50 scenes for this company, Mo told the New York Daily News, for a long time. I was one of their top guys, and I'm always publicly talking about racism. For them to even ask me was an insult. Then to do it against my will, it hurts. It feels like it was a setup. DF Productions Dog Fart Network specializes in interracial porn, which, by industry definition, specifically entails sex between a black man and a white woman. Keep that in mind. And which only deliberately portrays black men as racial stereotype, which often deliberately plays on stereotypes.
It does.
In the lawsuit, Mo characterizes DF Productions as a company that targets racist viewers and entices them into paying DFI money in exchange for the right to view racist adult films. Neither DF Productions nor Connor responded to requests for comment, and James Camp can't be reached for comment. If we take Mo's account to be true, it does not simply represent a violation of sexual consent, also a vivid example of the ways in which porn has been instrumentalized as a socially acceptable space for racist white fantasies to be projected onto and enacted upon black bodies, and the very real implications of that. Porn exists in an X-rated realm that isn't policed by typical notions of decency. There, given they are consensual behaviors, otherwise considered unacceptable, such as sadomasochism and other kinks, use of the n-word and so on, are allowed to exist, justified in the name of sex positivity and mysteriously perverse nature of desire and sexual attraction. Because kinks sometimes emerge from our deepest insecurity, fears, and even traumas, there's necessarily and usefully a no judgment logic that means nothing is off limits for creators, performers, and consumers alike. The alleged violation of Mo's consent reveals the danger of creating any vacuum-like space beyond politicization or reproach. It shows how easily the space between fantastical sexual performance and real-life racist aggression is collapsed. That collapse is a reminder that porn cannot be considered distinct from broader cultural production of our overall racial imaginary. Rather, these spaces are actually intimately linked, constantly informing one another.
Right.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has to know that on some level. Because I do think a lot of people's fetishes and shit are things they would never do, or things that they consider taboo or off limits. Every time we do one of these fucking, like, every year we do, like, the Pornhub releases their survey, mm-hmm. and the top shit is always, like, incest porn, mm-hmm. You know,
your
like,
son fucking mom.
Right.
Like, the fucking dad. Yeah. Right.
It's like, all, and it's more like taboo shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's less, I think, you know, incest, everybody's out here just doing it. It's more like, yeah, okay, I'm never gonna do this, but I wanna see somebody else do it consensually in these confines or whatever. The video including Mo and Connor was published as part of Dog Fart's Cuckold Session channel, which is important to note, appears to explicitly target white men. One self-description of the channel reads, "What do you do when you can't please your woman the way she needs? You calling a black stud with an 11-inch cock to fuck her while you watch, bro." In porn, cuckold describes a genre in which men watch their partners have sex with other men. Interracial cuckolding, a la Dog Fart, takes on something of a more sinister rape-adjacent sexual projection, though, with scenes typically containing multiple black men and a single white woman. The sex itself happens in a number of ways, and the white women involved come in many different characters. Some of them are taunting and caricatural, like a snow bunny white woman whose appetite for black men seems insatiable. Others are classic sexual stock characters, doe-eyed virginal girl next door types, and others still are somewhere in between. In one cuckold session video, the white male partner of an apprehensive, innocent looking young blonde, Lily Rader, offers her to a black man in order to get into his good graces. Hey man, you want to fuck my wife, man? Maybe we can hang out afterwards. I don't know what you're getting into. You going to the bar? When it comes time to hand her over, a garage door opens, revealing four masked black men menacingly waiting inside. Her partner's friend drags her backwards by the hair, still under the watchful auspices of and some encouraging words from her partner, and into a gangbang with all five black men. In many similar videos, the camera pans over to the white partner, who's often either masturbating by himself or enjoying the encounter, or observing miserably decentered, but still ultimately the dictator of the sexual gaze.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times they comment, like I've seen them before, they comment, ask her how she's feeling, and like, yeah, it's one of those things I was like, oh, so this is what happens.
Yeah, what's wild is that, like, in American society, and maybe it's like this everywhere, but I know specifically in America, so much of the black man having sex with the white woman has been such a linchpin of laws, mm-hmm. and the white male psyche of like, they're gonna come get something back from me because what's more precious to me than my woman, and the inherent danger of black men, straight black men specifically, but the inherent danger of them is like, they're gonna fuck my daughter, they're gonna fuck my wife, so we can't let anyone do opioids anymore, we can't, mm-hmm. like, you can go back and look at why certain drugs are illegal. If you go back far enough, it'll tell you, there's like posters and everything where it's like, don't let them smoke weed, black men get crazy and they just want to fuck your white woman. And that propaganda was good enough to get shit legal, made illegal.
Right, and none of that shit was true.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They were able to make it that way to be like, cocaine has, it was a time where cocaine wasn't illegal. You could put it in a fucking drink and drink cocaine.
Right.
There was a time when they went to make it illegal, they wanted to ban it. They then said cocaine makes black men too horny to pass on the graces of a white woman. They will rape them. So now cocaine can't be legal. And it worked. Like, it's not so much that someone had audacity to come up with that line of thinking, which is fucked up, but I mean, we live in America. There's much more fucked up lines of thinking out there. The fact that it was so popular, it did get these drugs banned.
Yeah, a lot of drugs.
Drugs that white people use.
Come on.
It got those drugs banned because they were like, yeah, a black man might get his dick hard, and we just don't know what happens when they get hard penises. They can't help themselves. They're savages. Meanwhile, we have raped entire nations, but it's black men that can't be controlled, really. They're the real problem. But yeah, I'm not surprised at that, the taboo-ness of that relationship, quote unquote, exists. You know? And of course, it's pitched to white men as the people who buy this shit because they have something inside of them that wants to see their women have sex with black men, and I don't know what the psychosis is there that makes them want to do that, but it also subsequently also is a thing that appeals to a lot of black men because we like to be hypersexualized. So it's also a black male power fantasy in many ways, even with you basically being objectified and put in a subservient position of, I want to watch you physically just fuck my wife like a fucking, like an animal, like, right. Not like a human being that I respect, but I want to watch you do this animalistic thing to my wife and then put you away. You're not you know, good enough to be loved by this person, you're not good enough to provide for this person or for her to have any level of respect for you back. But in this situation where she's calling you a nigger or whatever the fuck, that's erotic, and a lot of black men will absolutely take that. They'll be like, yep, that's good enough for me. Yep, uh-huh, yep, I got to have sex with a white woman, so it makes her calling me nigger fine. I don't understand what the problem is, you know. And to a certain extent, even with Mo, and the other dude in that scene was literally named Nat Turner, right? But he let that happen anyway. That's just so ironic, I can't not mention it. Anyway, the thing is, though, even if you would take out her calling them nigger or whatever in that scene, that dude's done a ton of shit right up to that line in that, because he works with that company. So that means you've done everything but get called the N-word. And it says something about them needing to call him the N-word.
Right.
And it also says something about him being able to work in that genre as long as it wasn't for that, because it's not like what they were saying before was that great, you know what I mean? It's not like none of these scenes are about like respectful sex and shit. It's always like, mm-hmm. two black men going to town on me, you thugs are having sex with me. It's never like,
and that's the description.
Yeah, it's never like, oh, my friend Mo's coming over.
Nah,
like, get to, anyway, the interracial cuckolding genre breathes life into the truism that some kind of sexual attraction, openly acknowledged or not, is often a component of racial contempt. The genre's black thug filled storylines make clear that this attraction is not simply sexual desire, but an evocation of fetishism of historically racist tropes that allow for contained witnessing of black male sexual prowess that white men simultaneously loathe, fear, and envy. Noted indie porn actress Stoya told me that as a white woman, she refused to participate in any interracial videos because of how patently absurd it is for pornography to reinforce binary and oppositional racial categories of black and white. She also objects to the fact that production companies, as opposed to performers themselves, get to create the content for sexual interaction in the scenes. Recalling one filming experience with a non-white male partner, she said the company presented the other performer more as a demographic than a human, and I felt dirty for having been complicit in it. It was all comparatively subtle, but the box cover featured me in a passive position with him looming over me. I'm well aware that scenes get shot that are far more problematic, but it still wasn't how I like to do things. So I only work with performers of color when the company agrees to shoot a label, which means almost never outside of my own stuff. Yeah, and for the record, dog fart in these companies, they have porn with like black women and white men. Mm-hmm. I've seen those too, and like the white dudes will be wearing like Confederate flag shirts and shit. Like they're selling a racist fantasy.
Correct.
But because porn allows racism to be at the forefront without people being judged.
Right.
My email interview with Tyler Knight, a black male ex-porn star and author of Burn My Shadow, A Selective Memory of an X-Rated Life, confirmed that black male performers in mainstream porn are often trapped within these rigid racial dynamics. Knight says that 95% of his approximately 1,000 career scenes have been interracial, and that he's gone upwards of a year without seeing another black person on the set. For Knight, the blurring of on and off screen racism comes partially from knowing that some non-black female performers charge above and beyond their typical quote to work with a black male, a premium known as the interracial rate. It's easiest to think of the interracial rate practice as a hazard duty pay without any hazardous duty to the worker. It's an extra pay simply because your coworker is black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it quote unquote, people talked about it, caused your cost to go down, you know, all of a sudden. You know, cause some dudes are really like, I'll follow this woman, but she fucked that nigger. I don't care no more.
See, that's the thing. I don't think that's true. Like, I think that's a industry, myth, and it allows, like most racism don't make sense.
No, it does not.
It allows people to charge more or to be racist.
Correct.
And I think that's what's happening. You know, we had Sarah J on this show. That's another reason I don't believe it, because we interviewed Sarah J a few times on this show. Mm-hmm. And she just blatantly told us, like, them bitches are racist. There is no in between of, if you fuck black dudes, no one will watch your scene. She's like, they are just saying that because they don't want to have sex with black dudes. Now the thing is, if they do have sex with black dudes, that ain't no fucking honor and glory in that either, because they're really just charging more, as if something is more inherently dangerous about sex with a black man. Like this will fuck my career up. We have no evidence that it's fucked up anybody's career, but they say that, and then they're like, well, I do demand an extra $200 a scene. So and it's not like they give the black dudes $200 extra a scene for performing with a white woman.
Come on.
Like it's purely just a white racist part of the fantasy. It's part of the racism. In a 2016 interview, porn scholar Mariel Miller Young described the premium as a pay to counter any possible devaluation white women performers may experience due to their involvement in the interracial porn market, or because they say that black men have penis sizes that require much more labor intensive work on their part. Okay,
that's not true.
Everybody doing porn,
a penis is
a penis anomaly, right? Like, it's not like there's like,
I've seen regular ass penises, right?
There's no 3-inch penis porn star is what I'm saying. Mm-mm. If he's white, he's gonna have a big dick. If he's black, he's gonna have a big dick.
Right, because he's a gonna have porn big star. Dick. Like,
that's
yes.
The point of them being porn stars. It's like, correct, saying, it should cost more for me to play against LeBron James. But when I play against Nate Turner, I mean, what's that nigga's name? Nate Parker? Nope, that's nigga's a rapist. What is my man's name? Why can't I think of Nate's last name? He was just in that fucking... It was just in the movie with Uncle
Robinson.
Drew. Nate Robinson, yes. When I play against Nate Robinson, that's a $500 a game. But when I play against LeBron, $3,000. That's not how this works. Anyway. But yeah, and a white female acquaintance of mine with experience in the industry told me that while she was performing, she could have charged twice her normal rate per sex act simply for scene partner with a black man, and even more if she was willing to do anal. She also noted the double standard. Black female performers obviously can't charge more for working with a white man.
Mm-mm.
And you know they don't, and they just are expected to work with black men in a lot of cases, and you know they ain't getting no bonus.
Come on.
Think about that. It's such a rig. Just think about the money of it.
Right.
Just the money of it is rigged against the black performer, period.
Right. Male and female, right.
It's difficult to say exactly how pervasive the use of the general interracial rate is, but it's an open secret that, at the very least, it's common in mainstream porn for white women performers to wait until later in their careers to do interracial and then charge a premium for the first scene. Both practices are mentioned in a lengthy 2017 Glamour report on race in the porn industry, which further notes that they contribute to vast pay disparities between white and non-white women in the industry. Once again, on-screen anti-blackness and pornography bleeds into the material world, allowing the production of content aimed to fulfill racist white sexual fantasies. Not only contributes to the creation and recycling of anti-black imagery, but it actually works to structure the porn industry in a way that robs black performers of opportunities for equal pay. Here we see lattice intersections of whiteness, more economy of racial purity, a material economy of race and gender pay disparity, and a sexual economy of violence and racial production, wherein the creation and maintenance of race has historically been enacted through sexualized violence and humiliation of black people and white men's continual assertion of dominance. Yeah, I mean, it goes on for a while. I can't read all of it. That's like about half maybe, but yeah, man, I mean, all this shit really just is about white men and their obsession with us.
Correct.
You know, and for the record, they will lie and be like, this shit is so, you know, it's like they will tell you that the reason that they charge more and they pay more to these women is that it's so unpopular. Meanwhile, the biggest sites are that shit. Black, like, is the one of the biggest sites on in porn, and it's only exclusively black dudes fucking non-black women, but mostly white women.
Right. And literally, if you go to any major porn site, even some of the non-major ones, it is literally the all you see. It takes a while before you get to any clips outside of that, depending on the site.
Right. But it's it really is the biggest gateway probably in porn. Like, mm-hmm. That whole whites only porn shit is a fallacy. Even these like alt-right motherfuckers are jacking off to these black dudes fucking their women, whether they admit to it. They might not be proud of it and shit, but the numbers don't lie.
No, they don't.
All the states that are like the most racist, mm-hmm. in those Pornhub polls, they always come back, or not even polls, the data, it's data from the site,
right?
They always come back with interracial being at the top, like all that shit. Like, you're in Alabama, but cuckold is the number one trend for porn. Like, it really does make a lot of, it says a lot. And I think under Trump and shit, it's definitely been exacerbated. Because as much as they hate us, is how much they fucking covet us, right? Want to consume us. And there's no better way to consume people than porn. Like, it's, you know, it just speaks to a lot, man. But, 0 to 100.
That's a good question. 50.
50? Yeah, I feel like I already knew all this shit. I feel like a lot of black people, if you watch porn, already know all this shit.
Of course.
Yeah, I guess I'll say 50. I'm like, I don't even know what to say about it, because I feel like the only way to be outraged by this continually is to be like, I don't know, is to be like unaware. I don't think, is anyone that unaware anymore that we would be like, wow, this is all about how white men view us? I, like, to me, it's like, yep, knew that when I was, the first time I seen the interracial scene, I was like, this, why are they doing it this way? Oh,
yeah, I was like,
this is for white people.
What is happening here? Yeah, I was like, oh, this ain't for me. I don't know how I got into this room.
Yeah, I'm not even saying it on some like, cause sometimes they do cuckold shit and it's not about whiteness or race.
Correct.
Like, there's other stuff that people do, like, and there's all kinds of shit within porn. I'm not even judging nobody's shit. Swear to God, watch what you want to watch. I hate when people say shit like, you know, I don't kink shame and I don't slut shame, but then the first thing they do is tell you how terrible it is that you're watching something that is presumably done by consenting adults. If that's what gets you off, that's what gets you off. I don't really know that has anything to do with your personal politics and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to assume that. I'll let other people assume that kind of shit about folks, but I just find it to be interesting though that that genre is so allowed to be so like racist and so like, you know, just push the limit, And then at the same time, if a black performer were to speak and say this is a hard environment to work in, it's crickets. Like, it can't be both.
Mm-mm.
Like, you can, like, you know, and for the record, there's a lot of niggas working there that don't have a problem with that shit.
Right.
We just know about Mo the Monster because they violated something that he was against. A lot of black men have said, oh, that's cool.
Yep, they have.
Oh, you call me a nigga. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Can you throw extra $50 in the scene or something?
I seen that in amateur porn.
Yeah, like, they knew what they were doing. But, yeah, I can't be that fucked with because I knew porn was kind of a no holds bar. I don't know who would even be shocked by what I just read. Let's see what else. Georgia student texted N-word to her future black roommate. Did we do this yet?
I don't think we did.
God, Jesus. So, you know, you get ready to go to school, and a lot of times in the summer, they now do this initiation thing, and because technology's come a long way, they're like, hey, here's your new roommate, you can text them, here's their picture, yeah, you might get together on social media, something like that.
Yeah, to give y'all time to actually get to know each other prior to you moving in.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the way they do it now, you get it a month or two before school versus when I was in school, what, a week? Maybe, you know, 2-3 at the most?
Yeah, we used to have like, what do you call it? Like student orientation, and you would have to do all this there.
Mm-hmm.
If your roommate showed up to student orientation, sometimes you even find a roommate at student orientation, stuff like that.
Correct.
Freshman orientation. But in this case, they're texting each other and stuff, which, you know, cool, sign of the times, right? I mean, we should be getting with the times, nothing wrong with that. But this one has a bit of a twist. Oh, by the way, I do have to go back. It's not like porn, if you got rid of the racism, then it would be straight. So it's not, you know, like, I understand. Mm-mm. Porn is just a cesspool. It's not, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. people, I realize porn is fucked up. Porn is the only place to use ebony.
Yeah, I don't even want to say, I don't even know what the right word is to say. I don't even want to say fucked up because I feel like I'm judging. I'm just saying, we know that if you start trying to get the issues out of porn, it would be interesting to see what those numbers look like. I think people talk a good game, but then they gonna watch what they want to watch.
Come on.
And a lot of people, because of how puritanical our society is, you're not gonna come out and say, like, the things I enjoy are blank, because you don't want to be judged. Nobody. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that porn holds over everybody is that everybody's a little bit ashamed, or at least not able to actively say, like, this got me off. If it's anything that would be judged harshly, anything that's not vanilla, it's like,
not plain Jane. Yeah,
somebody is going to turn their nose up. I don't give a somebody gonna turn their nose up at the fact that you even watch porn.
Correct.
So somebody's gonna be out there turning their nose up, and that's enough that I think to make the entire industry operate as if, well, nothing's off limits. You know, that dude that we cover, that's like a straight up rapist, James Dean or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was accused of rape on set.
Mm-hmm.
He's still working.
Yes, he is.
He's still working. That's how
nobody gets canceled.
Yeah, because literally nobody can get canceled. All right, back to the story. A screenshot has emerged of a racist text message sent by a white student at Georgia Southern University to her black roommate. The white student identified as Courtney Schaefer, and her roommate texted introductory hellos, and each laughed about the fact that they accidentally called the other one. Not long after, Schaefer sent a text message about her roommate's Instagram account. Okay. I'll read the exchange, Karen. Hey, Courtney. My name is Wamaka. I wanted to introduce myself since I am going to be your new roommate. Hey, did you just call me? So sorry. LOL, my phone is on silent. It was an accident. Haha, it's all good. I went to add you as a contact and I accidentally called you too. Smiley, crying, laughing face. The next text message is where it went wrong.
Oh.
Her Insta looks pretty normal, not too niggerish.
What?
Oh, you heard me, Karen. Do not pretend that you did not just hear me. I think you did hear me. Did you not hear me when I said
not too niggerish?
Her Instagram looks normal, not too niggerish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That just happened.
What's the niggerish?
That's right, yeah!
What's niggerish Instagram? What's
So then I think she meant to send that to someone else, so she
She sent it to her, right?
So then she sent another text message immediately. OMG, I'm so sorry. Holy crap. Damn spell check. I did not mean to say that. I was texting Hannah and I meant to say triggerish, meaning like you seemed really cool, nothing that triggered a red flag. I'm so embarrassed.
You meant to send this to one of your white girlfriends. You hit her up by accident.
Mortified emoji. Well, I mean, we gotta take her at her word, right?
He did that shit. Guilty as fuck.
Yeah, I feel like she, I feel like she meant to say niggerish.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be roommates. I would automatically, like, somebody demand a change of roommates.
How many times you got to type, you gotta type triggerish for autocorrect to put triggerish as the
man? Autocorrect be changing nigger to all types of shit, everything but nigger. So in order for it to just pop up niggerish, you had to type that a lot.
Yeah, like, because essentially she's saying auto spell check turned it to niggerish, which, by the way, if you put in triggerish, it'll actually autocorrect it to trigger fish, which is some kind of fish. I don't know.
Right, like I said, it never goes right.
But niggerish, when it autocorrect, like, I want Apple to be like, no the fuck it won't. Like, I wanted Apple to just come out and be like, iPhone will never allow you to just be out here correcting to niggerish and sending it out. Don't even do it.
That's right. She ducking lying. Right. Fucking always turns to ducking. It sure does. And if you don't catch it, you'll be like, my bad. Like, Apple be like, no. No, you will. Apple be like, stop it! This is foolishness! Cut the crap! That's what Apple be like when you try to cuss.
The university put out a statement. We share the hurt our community has expressed following the use of a racial slur exhibited in a screenshot shared on social media, she wrote. The use of such racist comments is offensive and unacceptable, and in no way reflects the attitude or values of Georgia Southern University. To be clear, there is no place for bigotry or racism on our campuses. No mention was made whether or not she would be facing disciplinary action for her comments. Leon Bowles, senior at GSU, told the campus paper, I think I speak for the entire African American population of Georgia Southern when I say that while I'm not surprised, I'm angry and disappointed.
Yeah, and then you wonder why, you know, not trying funny, black people, like, I want a black roommate. I don't want a roommate with nobody white. Like, some people actually make that command.
Angry, sad, and disappointed.
The text itself was cause enough for outrage, but the pathetic excuse and an apology was flippant insult to her intelligence. Yeah, you didn't even really apologize as much. Autocorrect, you know how it is.
If you're autocorrect to niggerish, that means you type niggerish a lot, baby.
Right, what makes more sense? I looked at her Instagram and thought it's not too triggerish. Hey, you're talking about a black girl, or I looked at her Instagram and thought it's not too niggerish.
And both problematic.
Right, and the definition of triggerish, apparently, you seem really cool, nothing that triggered a red flag.
That's a problem too.
Right, so either, like, and by triggerish, wow, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you trigger my racism, you trigger me being scared of you, black girl. That's what you triggered.
Yeah, I wonder what's gonna happen. If she's gonna get suspended?
No, she'd be
there. Reject her from school.
She'd be the fall semester,
right?
But she won't be my goddamn roommate.
Yeah,
I would be like, I'm not rooming up with her.
I tell you what, I'd be like, fuck the mother triggers, because I'm down for my triggers.
Come on.
Like, just looking at that, I'm like, trigger please.
I look at her, trigger what?
Right.
Trigger who?
Zero to 100.
Fucker.
I give it a hundo as well, my friend. Let's see. Police were called on a suspicious black family, enjoying a meal at Subway. A black family grabbing a bite to eat at Georgia Subway restaurant unexpectedly got a visit from the cops after an employee said they looked suspicious.
Look suspicious at a goddamn Subway?
Mm-hmm. Five niggas get gone. The Dobson family were surprised the police showed up and told them an urgent 911 call being placed, and an employee complained that the family was using the restroom too much and putting water in soda cups. Is that a typo? Because I've seen the other way. Not that you should call the police. I've seen people put soda in water cups.
Mm-hmm.
Putting water in soda cups?
Which means you pay for the soda.
And y'all put water in it and you call the cops? That gotta be a typo. Not that it would be okay either way.
That's not a typo.
It can't be right. One time I went into Red Robin, I think that's the name of it.
Ooh.
And there was an old white man in there. He had on a tank top t-shirt. It was ratty looking. And he came in and he had he ordered a large cup of soda, and he said, "Is your soda free refills?" And they said yes. So he said, "I want one large cup of soda." And then he took that soda and he got some from the machine, then he walked outside. Then he came back, got some more soda. He was real old. These trips were taking like 3-4 minutes. Walk back outside. Got another cup, walk back outside. Over and over. He must have did this shit like 10-15 times while I was sitting there eating my food. To the point where I'm just like, what the fuck is up with this dude? So I lean back and look out the window, see what he doing. This motherfucker was walking to his car and filling up empty gallon bottles of soda with a funnel, and pouring their soda back into the bottles of soda that he...
Oh no! He gave me the system!
And so he came back in one time and they was like, "Hey man, you can't be doing that." He was like, "Y'all said free refills." And they was like, "To drink here, nigga, not to fill up for the fucking multitudes. This ain't Lowe's and Fishes, bitch. Get the fuck out." And so he was like, "All right, then fuck y'all, I'm out." And he left. But you know what nobody did? Call the police.
No, they didn't. It wasn't worth the $3.50 worth of soda he stole.
He's a scammer and an icon, of course, and a legendary figure in my mind. But still, the police did not need to get involved with a little soda thievery. That shit costs like 1 cent a cup. Like,
right.
Leave. The cup costs more than the soda. Just leave.
The cup costs more than the soda.
Anyway, Felicia and Othniel Dobson were traveling home to North Carolina with their children, 8, 12, 13, and 19, and the children's aunt when they stopped at Subway for a meal on a long journey home. Dobson said they didn't do anything wrong and believe it was a blatant case of racism, which has become pretty commonplace for white folks to call the cops on black people for no apparent reason. Again, 911 is not customer service for white people.
An employee
called the cops, "I need somebody to come through here, please, ASAP now. There are about 8 people in a van. They've been in the store for about an hour. They keep going back and forth to the bathrooms, but by my back door. The family of 7 were rightfully offended. I have a 24-year-old sister who's a recent graduate of North Carolina A&T, Aggie Pride. My daughter, 19, she's entering sophomore year at Wake Forest University," said Felicia. "I don't think she ever felt threatened," Dobson said. "We can't change our skin color. I have great kids. I have a great family." When the police officer showed up and investigated and reviewed the situation, he apologized and told them an employee got suspicious. The employee then told the police they had been robbed before and suspected the family would rob her.
They sat there for a fucking hour. Why would they rob you?
"With my 8, 12, and 13-year-olds in tow, I'm gonna rob you. Think I am Ralph Angel? It's not how this shit happens."
Right.
The fuck doing robberies like that? A family night?
Right, right.
Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch that movie if it was directed by Ava DuVernay about a heisting black family that stole...
Oh, that shit will be lit now.
That robbed Subways together. Of course I'd watch it, okay?
And that shit will be in Technicolor. I'm here for it.
Right. If I'm already fantasy casting it in my head, okay, Lupita's gonna be in there, Michael B. Jordan's gonna be in there, okay, we had the kids from Blackish in there,
right? That's what I was thinking.
I mean, of course I would watch that. Matter of fact, just make an episode of Blackish where they just rob subways for a living. I get it, but that's not real life. Subway franchisee Raj Patel sent Channel 2 Action News a statement. I take this very seriously and I'm fully investigating. I've also used the opportunity to reiterate to my staff the importance of making everyone feel welcome. He apologized to the Dobson family and placed the employee on leave.
Why aren't they fired?
I will continue my boycott of Subway. I shall never let Subway pass these lips as long as I shall breathe.
Yeah, I got a boycott too, because I actually, the only thing I eat at Subway is a meatball sub, and I haven't ate that shit in years. It's been a long time.
Jersey Mike got meatballs?
It ain't the same.
Okay, all right, well, you do like Papa John's, so y'all take her opinion with a grain of salt. Probably several grains of salt in order to make it tasty, if you know what I mean.
I'm not gonna lie to you people, I like the meatball sub. That's the only fucking thing I eat there, and mm-hmm. it don't even taste the same. I think they changed the recipe, so,
and
I'm like
Papa
fuck
John's
it.
I'm just adding
Papa John's.
Yeah, I'm just adding relevant information to the
but
the
I like high quality food too.
Mm-hmm, sure you do. I'm just
can
adding,
we all be complex?
I'm just adding context to the discussion, Karen. I don't understand why you're getting so defensive.
I am a complex food creature.
Sure you are.
Everything I eat ain't gotta be 5 stars.
Or no stars, apparently. Stars do not matter at all to you.
On some things, no.
Okay.
I see saying. McDonald's still in business, but a lot of motherfuckers talk about I don't eat that crappy ass food. Somebody eating it.
Mm-hmm. But they're not rating it 5 stars.
And no, McDonald's ain't no 5 stars.
Right. Okay. But anyway, the boycott continues. I don't eat there, and I should not begin to eat there. Okay. So, all right. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah. 100 for me too.
Yeah, cause I still got the job.
Five niggas. Five niggas get gone. We're at the break. Let me go to the
Subway's gonna be like, I don't know. Subway's, they lost all that money with Jared over here fucking the kids, and you know, and then a bunch of them closed because they have them up the street around the corner and in your back closet. So they're like, you got too many of them, and then this bullshit.
You know, it's bad when this is only your second worst scandal. Hey, we called the police on a black family for no reason. Well, at least it's not raping kids. I mean, right? Let's put a statement out. Let's put a statement out.
All right,
section two. Let's move on.
Oh, I got to move myself still?
I don't know. I'm doing it right now. I'm calling everybody over. Just give me a second and we'll see. You might not have to move. Let me know if it invites you. I'll tell you when I just hit the invite button.
Okay.
All right, I just hit the invite button. Did you get one?
No, right, I'm still so over here. Still did it move up. Everybody else over?
Yep, moved everybody else over except for you.
All right, I'm moving over then.
All right.
Come on, here I go.
Wait, it just said could not go live. What did I do wrong? All right, let me pause this so they don't hear this part.
Speaker getting ready.
All right, technical difficulties that you guys listening to this later in audio form never get to hear.
Mm-mm.
But we did get to listen to Sweetest Thing by Lauryn Hill. I mean, the Refugee Coalition Camp, whatever the fuck it was called. You know what I'm talking about. Brown Sugar soundtrack, the greatest R&B soundtrack of all time. Anyway, speaking of music, it's time to get into another section. Let's go ahead and do some white people news and then we'll get out of here, guys. All right.
Okay.
I know this is what you guys are into. You guys are waiting on it. You're so happy to have us back on screen just so you can have this moment. And you're welcome.
I didn't pick this, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always, baby. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always. Sitting on me, still a little around me. I swear you gotta feel me before they try and kill me. They gotta make some choices. They're running out of options. I've been popping off and they don't.
topped off. I see that you've been learning. When I take your shop and you spin it like you earned it. And when you popped off on your
head, you deserve it.
Popping the peas. Are these even the lyrics?
I don't know. Talk to the wrong person.
From the block like a Jenny. I knew you were a special girl.
And his hat backwards too. We should have known that was a bad sign.
I feel like he made up his own words.
Me too.
Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always, JD. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always.
I don't. So Kiki is a real person?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't believe that that's what Nick Jew is into. I got that by following her on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, if you guys want somebody to blame,
Kiki, if you love me, that's all I know.
Mm-hmm. My mom did send me this, tell me to listen to Moomoo Fresh.
Okay.
Who I had never heard of until my mom put me on a couple of days
ago. In pata na wache, na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena. In pata na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena. Impata na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena. Impata na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena. Impata na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena. Impata na wache, she chose Maya, Maya, eche kuena.
Call upon the name of the Most High, Mouse Negro Woman, Grandma Kenny.
And she started praying before she got ready to do her thing. I know she about to get intense. I'm about to skip forward a little bit.
And torn from mothers by colonizers' orders, long before America ever had borders. Native babies stolen at tender ages, shipped to the West Indies to slavery. This is America. Don't get you slipping, no. We be the people you call low lives, dangerous, hood rats, wild, Indians, colored, incorrigible, untamed, savages, gangsters, niggas, go get it, super predators, go figure, do for self, kings, queens, gods, master teachers, alchemists, Africans, natives, and bondage, but my spirit free. I was born to bring more light into the world. That's why you see so much fight in your girl, cause God's work is so gangster, and I got so much more to be thankful for. I am red clay, dirt rose, ashe, tobacco field, prayer ties, sweet grass, peyote. I survived the trail of tears and slavery. This here is what you call unmatched bravery. And if you want this blessing on your sages, it ain't all about the money, but baby, you're going to have to pay me. Say we call it reparations. See, I learned to sing not in school, but in ways you wouldn't understand. See, singing wasn't about songs, it was about sound and the laying on of hands. I watched my grandmother pour pain from the aching bodies of sobbing grown men with a sound that started in her pit, escaped her lips, and made them whole again. We black Indian. This red and brown blood, it runs so deep. This ceremony, this sacrifice is nothing you could ever teach. Lest you crawl back into the deep black womb of the healing lodge to rebirth yourself brand new and learn that we are just spiritual beings having a human experience, and nothing else is ever true. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and nothing else is ever true.
shit. All right. That was really, that's the blackest white people news music we've ever had.
I know.
Y'all welcome.
Yeah, it was on NPR. I guess one of them little tiny desks. You're right. Mm-hmm. They was like, yeah, it's explicit lyrics. I was like, what that? Probably because she said nigga.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes long. So, Moo Moo Fresh, my mom. Shout out to my mom. Putting me on. Mama Tips. All right. That's y'all's man. Gotta talk about Trump before we get into this. To ease the pain of Trump's trade war, $12 billion in aid for farmers. Mostly because he considers farmers to be white people, and farmers probably mostly consider big business, not the just tiny, the way that we view farmers in our head, which is some tiny person in a small field planting crops, you know, living on the land, you know, stuff like that. Like, these are some big ass corporations in a lot of cases, and they had their shit fucked up because they supported Trump, and Trump has fucked up everything by going at China with these fucking tariffs, and he had to turn around and give them welfare.
Come on.
If it was going $12 billion going to healthcare, they call it welfare. If it was $12 billion going to kids in school, SNAP, they call that welfare. If it was $12 billion going to public radio, they call it welfare.
Right.
Entitlement programs. Well, what's, you do a policy that you say is to put us in a better trade position, and it ends up backfiring and hurting a lot of American farmers in that industry, and you go, let's give them some money. Why? What's the difference between them and everybody else hurt by your policies? Leaked email suggests Stormy Daniels strip club arrest was indeed a setup. Yeah, no shit. You really want me to believe that the cops just having to be on the case? For the titty cops. We got titty CSI out here now. Is that a thing? Well, we gotta go undercover and bust these busts.
Right. When you can't even, get people to actually do the right thing in a real porn industry, get the fuck out of my face.
Right. You guys, you know, man, we've been having a lot of special investigations into titty slapping, and it's getting out of control down at the strip club. We're gonna have to go undercover. The person that
arrested had to get down to the bottom of the nipple on this one.
Right. They said, keep in mind, they said that this was part of an ongoing operation that was like on the club. Like, we were investigating this club. Think about this. You mean you blew the whole operation because Stormy Daniels slapped a titty in somebody's face? Like, y'all was about to get the biggest drug dealers in town, but then a titty popped out and you said, well, God damn it. As an officer of the law, I can't. I just cannot. I'm sorry, millions of dollars in investigative time.
No taxpayers' money.
I'm sorry, billable hours, but I'm going to just have to throw the whole operation away. The albatross has landed. I'm going in. Abracadabra. Yeah, they called the arrest a mistake and announced an investigation on the motivation for the officers. Were they white men? Because I can guess. Were they white men? Were they wearing red Make America Great hats when they arrested her? Mm-hmm. As an undercover scene?
Right.
Yeah. So initially they said that it was part of a long-term investigation into allegations of human trafficking, prostitution, and other vice-related violations, and that they engage in these operations routinely with no effect on other calls for service. Now think about this. This is a strip club that engages in potentially human trafficking, prostitution, and other vice-related violations like drugs and shit. Imagine a nigga blows his cover for some titties. Now all the little white slavery children is gone. Y'all believe that? Y'all think that's what happened?
Fuck no.
So of course, yeah, they found emails and shit of them basically talking about it.
Cause they stupid.
Right.
And you know what the email was? .imacoprealcop.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
policedepartment.com at thepolicedepartment.com.
Detective Shanna Keckley, one of the three arresting officers, allegedly emailed herself videos and photos of Daniels a day before the arrest was made, as well as maps to Sirens, the club where Daniels had advertised on her social channels that she would be performing. So you emailed evidence that you was targeting this woman
to yourself. So she CC'd herself because
you too stupid to just stream porn like the rest of us and know what she looks like. You said, I'm gonna need to verify for myself. After the arrest in the morning of July 12th, she allegedly wrote to another officer, you're welcome, thank me in person later, but did not refer to Daniels by name. The Columbus Division of Police told Vanity Fair they can't comment on the nature of these emails due to ongoing investigation. Avenatti, meanwhile, is claiming vindication, tweeting in response, "This is extremely disturbing. I intended on getting to the truth of the bottom of who ordered at Stormy Daniels arrested and why. It appears that I was correct, that it was politically motivated."
Right. She's been saying this.
Right. Of course. Bessie DeVos' $40 million yacht was vandalized in Ohio and untied from the dock and just sent out floating.
Hmm.
What a shame.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's just too bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melania Trump gardening. She took pictures. You know, they do these candid photos of her in the garden and shit like this. Trying to be like Michelle. What won't she copy from Michelle? I mean, honestly, if you turn her paper over, everything. The front of it says Michelle Obama every time.
Everything but her skin color.
Mm-hmm. Well, she put out photos to be like, hey, look at me, the first lady, gardening, trying to be like Michelle Obama. Except everybody noticed none of her clothes were dirty. Not her shoes, not her gloves, nothing.
That's because she didn't do the shit.
You can look at this picture right now.
She just squatted.
Okay, I don't know if this is mean to say, I'm not sure.
But she doesn't have a friendly face. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, her face just looks like she's mad all the time.
That is not what I was going to say, but noted. Here's what I was going to say. Why does she look... She give me that Michael Jackson in the later years vibe with these shades. Mm-hmm. The way she be going out with her shades in her hair, she made me feel like MJ before he passed. Like,
yeah, and I don't mean it in like a mean way, but her face, she just... Because a lot of times you never really ever see her smile.
Like she hiding something. I don't know. Right. She look like she hiding something.
Yeah, and people was like, your shoes not dirty, your gloves not dirty, your clothes, like, you but that is,
even the shears aren't dirty.
Right, you could at least got on your knees.
Like, this is such a terrible, who are her people? Aren't you supposed to be a model? Mm-hmm. Hold it like this, Donna. Yes, that's it, bitch. Take the picture, please.
Right. This is good as we're going to get it. Good as we're going to get it. Take the picture.
Close enough, hoe. Bye, click.
I know. We've been here for 20 minutes.
Right. Donald was ready to go. Take one picture and let's go, Melania. Hurry up, Melanie. Taking too long.
You know how that was going. All right.
You look incredible. Unbelievable. Let's go. I know.
Michelle Obama out there fucking plucking apples and eating it and dirty and dusty and got dirt all over herself. And you like, squat here.
She's holding, Donald, we have to take one more picture. She's holding the shears upside down. It's close enough.
Right?
Back in the car.
She's holding the shears upside down.
One more picture, Donald. No, bitch, back in the car. I told you, you want to be missing for another month? Back in the car.
Come on.
Trump's ex-Fox News communications boss bans rude CNN reporter from open press event. Hey, remember when Obama was saying, I don't even remember if he said it or if they just floated out the idea that maybe Obama would ban Fox News from the press conference stuff because they basically aren't a news organization,
which they're not,
and they keep reporting all this fake news and very biased slanted news, and mm-hmm. it's very immoral what they do. And CNN vouched for Fox News and said, nah, if you do that, we'll leave, we won't allow anyone to be able to do that. Well, a Fox News communications boss got a job with the Oval Office, and the first thing he did was ban a CNN correspondent from covering an event that was advertised as open to the press.
Yeah, because it never goes the other way around, because they don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Bill Shine, who joined the White House from his top executive position at Fox News, he's now the communication director, and first thing he did was say bye CNN. They said, you are disinvited from press availability in the Rose Garden today. They said that the questions I asked were inappropriate for the venue, and that they said that I was shouting. You banned me from an event because you didn't like the questions I asked. Collins can be heard on the videotape voicing a series of questions to Trump. It was reporters routinely do during events where Trump is seated near world leaders. She asked about the former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, who can be heard on tape leaked to CNN talking with Trump about payment relating to Playboy model, who he claimed he had an affair with Trump. Did Michael Cohen betray you, Mr. President? She also asked him, Mr. President, are you worried about what Michael Cohen is about to say to the prosecutors? Are you worried about what is on the other tapes, Mr. President? The White House Correspondents Association blasted the move. We strongly condemn the White House's misguided and inappropriate decision today to bar one of our members from an open press event after she asked questions that they did not like. Well, good for you. Y'all was ready to boycott over fucking Fox News. this woman just gets a, oh, you know, it's, we disagree. This type of retaliation is wholly inappropriate, wrong-headed, and weak. It cannot stand. And we will be there tomorrow with no problem. Reporters asking questions of powerful government officials up to and including the president helps hold these people accountable.
Yeah, and people ain't paying attention, but this shit is fucking dangerous. You're controlling the press. This person has the right to be there. They haven't broken any laws. They have the right to be there.
Right. This is not like a tabloid.
Right.
Anyway, protesters fighting their Trump star on Hollywood Walk of Fame after a man destroyed it with a pickaxe. Remember how Obama was divisive and he divided the country? Remember that?
Take a look at this. So next to Kevin Spacey.
Sorry. Pepper's Farm remembers. They called Obama divisive. Motherfuckers are out here fighting in the streets over this dude's Hollywood Walk of Fame star that he got back in like 1992. That's how fucked up he is. But they would never call him divisive. Liberals and white people, liberal and Democrat, call Obama divisive, claim he didn't live up to blah 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 blah, all these high expectations they had of the first black president, and only him and nobody else,
and never again get another brown person.
Lower expectations for Trump, lower expectations for the Clintons, lower expectations for Bush. Only Barack Obama is supposed to live up to the shit that he didn't even promise he gotta live up to. And yet some the fuck how he's the one that gets called divisive in all the shit he did to try to unify this fucking country, this thankless ass piece of shit racist country. All the shit he tried to do to bring people to see common ground with each other, and he got shitted on for it. Motherfuckers are in the street fist fighting over Donald Trump's Hollywood Walk of Fame star, and yet I don't see the same energy in calling this dude divisive like that. Jake Tapper is mad Obama was at a concert and danced to Jay-Z and Beyonce. As if this nigga owes you any more of his life. As if every other president hasn't left fucking office and went to live a regular fucking rich ass private life like all the other rich ass private life presidents. As if, nigga, you thankless ass piece of shit.
He a better man than me, because him and Michelle are still out here doing shit,
still trying,
but
God forbid you get caught eating a sandwich, because what the fuck are you doing eating a sandwich when Donald Trump is running the government? Well, nigga, I told you not to vote for him.
Right.
I told you to go vote for Hillary Clinton if you want to continue my legacy and push this country progressively. You decided it wasn't that important. Your networks decided to cover Donald Trump rallies uninterrupted. But you see me dancing for 2 seconds on fucking
Instagram,
Twitter,
right?
And you lose your shit? Are you serious?
Yeah,
they will blame anything on a nigga. Anything.
They much better people than me.
How about blame your white fellow people who voted for this shit? Blame the white people that run the government. Blame the Republicans that fucking collaborated with Russia to make sure this kind of shit happens. That didn't mind the collusion. That put an inept, fucking, corrupt person in charge of the country that is blatantly inept and corrupt. Like, blame them. Before you even get back to Obama, do that first. But you still busy calling Obama divisive. That's so wild. They are fighting over the symbolic use of this dude's star on the Walk of Fame. That's how unpopular and slash popular with some sections of the country this nigga is. They are fighting in the streets, but Obama was divisive because y'all didn't want to hear him say that Trayvon Martin could look like a son of his if he would have had a son. Y'all, that divided the country. Him saying that the police shouldn't have arrested Skip Gates for quote unquote breaking into his own house, that divided the country. That divided the country. You got to be out your goddamn mind, boy, I tell you.
Yeah, y'all better people than me, because I been told y'all to kiss my ass and moved out of the country.
Yeah, all right. Let's get to some nice white people news, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stolen crown jewels, the Swedish crown jewels are stolen. Some of Sweden's crown jewels have been stolen from a cathedral. It's like the plot to Ocean's 8.
I'm about to say what happened.
Anne Hathaway was distracting us by being woke on Instagram, but she was really stealing them jewels.
Come on, she's talking about Black Lives Matter while she's stealing them jewels.
Yeah. This is a police report. Was this breaking news? Police are chasing the thieves in motorboats after the priceless items were taken from Strängnäs Cathedral in southeastern Sweden this afternoon.
Stole this, Hunt?
I'm guessing Meghan Markle's white half of her family.
Okay, I'm about to say.
This is like some shit they would do.
You got Ethan Hunt out here in the Mission Impossible. We follow him in boats and shit?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. In my mind, it's clearly Meghan Markle's white side of family, because you just can't let them get close to nothing because they're a bunch of thieves and just ne'er-do-wells, malcontents, etc. So you know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, just keep them as far away from Meghan. But they probably was like, oh no, we just here to visit the Duchess, y'all ain't heard of us, we the Markles. And then they walked in and stole all the jewelries and hopped in boats,
right?
So that's my belief.
They not too smart, they been on rectum.
Yeah. that's true.
They been on call to paparazzi, we stole the jewels.
But yeah, two royal crowns, one belonging to King Carl the Ninth and the other to Queen Christina with a K, were taken, as well as a royal orb.
And my thing is, what the fuck are you gonna do? Who are you gonna sell these to?
The jewels?
Yes, nobody is going to want that.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it. I mean, they could cut the jewels down and then sell them to sell them individually.
Okay, because I was about to say, you would be a fool, and even then I'll be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, they might have microchips there. Who knows what they got in them jewels? They gonna find them jewels.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Mm-mm. Don't do it, black market. They're gonna have y'all asses in jail.
The boat chase does make me feel like Tom Cruise could have been involved, though.
Come on, I'm trying to tell you, he's gonna pull his face off. Yes, my jam. Don't know none of the words.
Down with the victim. Boom, doo, doo. We both know you need them. Boom, doo, doo. I'm stuck in the middle. Boom, doo, doo. Of all irrelevance. Boom, doo, doo. Your heart is beating.
Yes,
you know that you gotta get out of the middle.
This was playing the whole time I was getting them jewels. Yes!
He had an impossible choice to make, Karen.
Yeah, he did.
He had to. It was this or leave his team behind. What was he supposed to do?
He know what he was supposed to do, because that's the job. I love that damn movie, Impossible White Man to the fullest.
But that's the job.
Come on,
that's a good Angela Bassett. Carl IX was the king of Sweden from 1604 till his death in 1611. Damn, he had a short run. The two crowns,
real short.
Seven. What happened? They're getting a war 7 years. The two crowns, the burial crowns from 1611, but were later exhumed and put on display. Oh, that's some bullshit. Imagine you bury me in my crown and you break over my shit and put it on in the museum. Both crowns are made of gold and inset with pearls and other precious stones. Christopher Lundgren, dean of the cathedral, said, this is part of national cultural heritage. This is the theft from Swedish society.
I mean, and my thing was, because the jewels are so old, like, wouldn't they crumble or fall apart, or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that's how that works at all, Ken.
Oh, I don't know why. I was like, well, the shit's so old.
I mean, I wonder when they got them out. They probably exhumed them, like,
okay, yeah,
a long time
ago.
Yeah,
they probably take real good care of them. Yeah,
probably okay. Gave it like 3 days. It was like, man, go get them gold crowns. I can't believe I was gonna give my shit away.
Right?
That's mine now. The cathedral was open to the public when the jewels were stolen from locked up glass boxes.
Oh shit!
Police spokesman.
That sounds like an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Police spokesman Thomas Agnevik last night said there would have been no arrest, and that it's 1-0 to them right now. To them? Is it a game? Does he expect there to be more? What's the final score?
I don't know. Y'all losing right now. Y'all need to at least get 50%.
He talking like it's a fucking sports competition.
It's soccer.
Well, you know, we go to their home next, and we just hope we can get a win on the road.
I know. We're waiting for the second half of the game.
Yeah, we lost a home field advantage, but I feel like we're going to be very strong. We're going to regroup.
Yeah, we're going to
look at their strategies.
I know. We're going to be better in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just you hate to lose the momentum like this going into a series, but like we said, it's not really the series hasn't really started till one team loses on the road. So we'll get them next week. He added, I have talked to someone at the country administrative board that says it's not possible to put an economic value on them. These are invaluable objects of national interest. We are looking for a small and open motorboat. We have some different information about how exactly the boat looked. We are now examining all the tips we receive. He added, by boat, you can reach the Malaren Coping or Arabaga in the west, or the Vasteras, Eskilstuna, or Stockholm if you drive east. Eyewitnesses, Tom Roswell, who was getting married at the cathedral this weekend, described the incident. He said, one of my friends saw two people running. I saw the boat just there, white little boat with a motor on the back. The two men hurriedly jumped on board. We contacted the police and told them they told us that they had taken something from the cathedral. I knew immediately they were burglars because of the way they were behaving. The girl said it was odd in this small, quiet town, but the fact that the boat was waiting, it was obvious to me that they were burglars. I think it's awful. It's despicable that people would steal from a holy building and take something of historic and monetary value. I hope the police succeed in finding them. Nobody was hurt during the raid. It is not the first time the Swedish royal jewels have been stolen.
Oh, shit.
2012, a 19-year-old man admittedly admitted to stealing a 102,000 pound is in the monetary measurement.
Okay.
Worth of jewelry from Princess Christina's apartment near the royal palace. He allegedly sold most of the jewels to two drug dealers and also reportedly threw a tiara off a bridge in Stockholm. God damn.
Ooh, imagine who found that tiara.
A mermaid, probably, but I'm just saying, no! How the fuck you just gonna throw that shit away? Like, that's money. Wow. He must have been
y'all need, they need to step their security up.
Mm-hmm. Gwyneth Paltrow said she regrets not having a third child. I really wanted another one. She's opened up about motherhood and how she wished she had a third child. The actress and Goop CEO is featured in an in-depth new profile in the New York Times. She gets candid about her life and her regret over not having a child. Paltrow shares 14-year-old Apple and 12-year-old son Moses with ex-husband Chris Martin, but admitted to journalist Taffy Brodesser Ackner that she wished she'd given thought to another sibling, giving them another sibling. All I'm saying is, it's not nothing, she said, having a third. I really wanted another one. Elsewhere in the interview, Paltrow admits that she struggled with criticism that came of her split with Martin. The two famously announced that they were consciously uncoupling in March 2014, a term that quickly earned ire from people around the world the way they handled divorce. I was really saying, we're in a lot of pain, we failed at this, we're going to try to do it a different way, but I was so raw that I didn't anticipate, I think, that this is an instance where it really hit me that an insouciance with language for me is different than from somebody else. I don't even know what that means. That's smart, whatever that, insouciance, that sound like some French. Insouciance. Oh, okay.
The root word from Latin.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now because I need to know what that means.
I
don't know what it means. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's a typo. It sort of said, sound like a sauce. Oh, man, maybe that croissant, man. Put some of that incense sauce on this joint, boy.
That shit is good.
Insouciance is how it's pronounced. Insouciance. Casual lack of concern or indifference. So she basically said a lack of concern from her is different than from somebody else. All right. But miscommunication still drew backlash. Paltrow recalled seeing a tabloid magazine name her the most hated celebrity. I remember being like, really? More than Chris Brown? Me? Oh, she had to throw that swerve in there. Me? Really? Wow. I agree.
She like, I'm not out here doing the bullshit he doing. Word?
Yeah, but
I might be scamming white women out their money with this Goop shit, but I ain't doing that.
But it's like the most beautiful woman in the world thing. Like,
right.
When she got selected, it was almost the same week that I was People's Most Beautiful Woman. For a minute, I was like, wait, I don't understand. Am I hated to the bone or am I the world's most beautiful? First of all, you can be beautiful and still hate it. Second of all, why you ain't think the same thing? Really? More than Rihanna? Like, it's funny how that works.
Come on.
Paltrow has since moved on with producer Brad Falchuk and announced the two are engaged after 4 years dating January 2018. Good for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else is in the news. Mila Kunis says it's fucked up what I did to ex Macaulay Culkin and talks about Ashton's divorce. Extra, extra. Mila Kunis has spoken about how she fucked up her relationship with Macaulay Culkin, who you guys ain't know from Home Alone,
mm-hmm.
and given details on her husband Ashton Kutcher's divorce. The 34-year-old actress spilled the beans about her private life on Monday's Revealing Expert of Armchair Expert podcast. This podcast just falling all over themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She began by admitting her furious mom and said shut the fuck up in Russian when she found out her daughter was dating that 70s show co-star Kutcher. In a candid interview with host Dax Shepard, the Jupiter Ascending starlet revealed the circumstances under which she dropped the bombshell on her mother, Elvira.
Is that that bad movie we saw?
What bad movie?
Jupiter Ascending? I'm thinking about something
else. Oh, that, yes, that movie was terrible.
Okay, I'm about to
Channing
play.
Channing Tatum was in it.
Yeah, it was bad.
God, that movie was so fucking bad.
And boring.
Oh, so boring.
Okay, I'm about to say, I knew I heard that name before.
I was rooting for them too. And I love the Wachowski siblings, and that shit was trash. Sorry. We'll always have my show on Netflix though. The Family Guy voice actress is incredibly honest about a breakup with Macaulay and hinted that she was mostly to blame. I had a horrible breakup, she said about the Home Alone actor. I fucked up. I was an asshole in my 20s. I'll be the first to admit the actress admitted to the relationship. I guess she left him home alone. However, the actress didn't elaborate on exactly how she wronged the Uncle Buck child star. Really? Now the bad mom star is able to look back on her 20s and forgive herself for behavior, as she says she's grown up a lot since then. As long as you can forgive yourself, man, you know? She added, you know, it's been so long, like, I feel like enough time has gone by. I think enough mutual friends have been like, everybody kind of forgave everybody for what went down at 35. I could look back and be like, I was 20. Yeah, I like that she's like, I don't talk to that nigga, but mutual friends, it seemed like he let it go, and that's good. In a candid interview with host Dax Shepard, the Jupiter Ascending starlet later revealed the circumstances under which she dropped the bombshell. She was dating Ashton to her mother. We were driving up to Laurel Canyon, and I was like, Mom, I have to tell you, I'm dating somebody. She was like, oh, tell me, who are you dating? And I said, you got to brace yourself for this one. I'm dating Ashton Kutcher. She was literally like, shut the fuck up in Russian. The Black Swan actress suspected that the bad publicity surrounding Kutcher's divorce from Demi Moore might have had an impact on her mom's reaction. He was coming off a divorce. He was way post-divorce. But I think there was a lot of misconceptions about the divorce. Before adding, we were crazy neurotic and keeping it a secret. Maybe to a massive fault where we alienated so many friends, I'm sure. Kunis and Kutcher, 40, began dating in April 2012. Following his November 2011 split from his wife of 6 years, Demi Moore, the couple married in 2015 and shared two children together, daughter Wyatt, 3, and 19-month-old son, Dimitri. I don't know him and Demi had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for them. I thought them was Bruce Willis kids. I wonder if he was at the roast of Bruce Willis. I think they just did that on Comedy Central.
Ooh, I don't know.
I know Demi Moore supposedly showed up.
Didn't Martha Stewart do a good little roast, they were saying?
She was at the Bruce Willis roast.
She was at one of them roasts.
I can see it. You know, she be hanging in them circles now, fucking with Snoop and shit.
Come on.
You know, he'll get her into the comedy world and out of that fucking thug life she been living.
Come on. You know, she gangster.
That's the whole reason she probably messed with him, you know, to get away from her crime, a life of crime she been leading. And to that glom onto that American treasure, Snoop Dogg, America's sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
Reformed and saved Snoop Dogg. Who needs the Met Gala? Who needs the Met Ball when the perfect heist has been right before our very eyes all this time?
Oh shit, what happened?
Some women stole $17,000 worth of leggings from Lululemon.
Good God, all 10 pair of pants? Them shit's expensive. Them shit's is high.
They got away with 3 pairs of leggings.
Yeah, and 2 shirts. That's all the fuck they got away with. It's some shit. If you're bigger than a size 8, your ass can't fit in it, no way.
Vral says the women were calm. They didn't speak. They didn't fight. They walked to the back of the store, scooped up as many leggings as they could, fitted to their bags, and then walked out. We were all in a daze. The manager was just trying to keep everything calm, saying, it's okay, it's okay. The leggings are among the most expensive items in the store, averaging about $100 each.
Right.
The thieves stole 148 pairs, and police believe they could be responsible for more. Here's my thing. I feel like this crime and the Swedish Royal Jews crime is kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like these perpetrators are just white women, white people,
white crime,
and they were the security was too busy following a random black person, and a white person just walked in and walked out with all the money, just like
all the shit, because they know they're not being followed.
Yeah, they say they didn't even confront them or try to fight them or chase them out the store. They just called the police and let them leave.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never see them shits again.
In other white people news, mayonnaise is the most controversial ice cream flavor. Yep, that's pretty white. That's about as white as it gets. Mayonnaise ice cream, would you try it?
Mm-mm.
The Ice Falkirk ice cream shop is no stranger to weird flavors. On their website right now, Monster Energy is the flavor that pops up on their desserts page. Monster Energy? God, you gonna fucking
get a brain freeze and a sugar high at the same time? What's up? You got a up in the colder?
You gonna bite into that shit and fight off a hangover?
Come on.
Yeah, I took a bite and now I'm doing CrossFit.
Right? And my head hurts.
I do extreme. My nose started bleeding, then I started doing extreme sports. I couldn't help myself.
I know. And my top of my nose is frozen.
The Scottish shop previously garnered attention with the ice cream made of strong bow, dark fruit, hard cider. But last week, the brand went beyond the unusual to the realm of controversy when they announced a new Hellman's Real Mayonnaise ice cream. Who knows? A mayo addict. Well, I know somebody that doesn't know a mayo addict that old Tamara Mowry, her husband would probably kill her if she came home with this shit. Honey, I got mayo ice cream. Why the fuck would you think, because I'm a white man, huh? Is that what it means? I'm sick of this. You come in here with your black privilege.
Yeah, I know, it'll be a fight in the house.
You better not tell them people on Instagram either. Who knows a mayo addict? Ice quipped on their Instagram page alongside a photo of a polarizer product. For the record, I would say that I think Tamara Mowry's husband is a goddamn lie. I think he doth protest too much, and he love him some mayonnaise.
Come on.
He eat it when she not around.
You know he does.
You know how some men hide porn? He hide mayonnaise in the house.
Yeah.
You gotta wait for her to leave with the kids and shit, then he'd be like, all right, she's gone, I got the house to myself.
Extra mayo.
Oh, put a scoop of this.
Made me some tuna fish. Extra mayo.
He eat his mayo with an ice cream scoop.
And plop it out on the sandwich. Just,
oh, God. Oh, I've been waiting for this all day.
On this good sourdough bread.
Oh, Jesus.
This good ciabatta.
As often happens these days, the product took social media by storm, bringing ice global attention. Not bad for a small business from Falkirk, Scotland. The shop wrote on Facebook, not bad. That is, as long as you don't mind the association with the potential stigma of serving mayonnaise ice cream. Reactions range from the unhappy, Scotland, y'all can keep it. That's okay. Do they even need to tell us that these are black people?
I'm about to say black.
We already know who these people are.
My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
Yeah, because there are a lot of black people that like mayo, but they like no. Then you know a lot of black people go, I like Miracle Whip, but still no.
It probably makes the ice cream super creamy and light instead of tasting like mayonnaise. Another user wrote, I have a chocolate cake recipe with mayo in it, and it makes the cake super moist and brings out the chocolate flavor with the OU. So you know I don't trust that motherfucker at all. I'm not eating your dessert if you spell flavor with an OU.
people bit into that shit. That was like, ooh, this tastes a little different.
What is this again?
I know.
I want to put this ice cream on a sandwich, maybe. Can I have some ham?
Yeah, what's happening here? I want ketchup and mustard for some. What did you put in this?
Put some cheddar cheese on this ice cream.
Right.
For the record, that's what one Instagram user suggested and was the case. I thought it was hashtag just wrong on so many levels, but then I tried it. Someone commented on Ice's post, it's actually really nice, creamy and rich. What was their race? I guess their race. Still, that sort of level-headed response hasn't slowed the mania. Heck, today even Miracle Whip tried to piggyback off of all the attention with mayonnaise flavor ice cream was received. Mayo ice cream, 3 exclamation points, ridiculous, the brand posted on Twitter. Miracle Whip ice cream though. Still, while mayo might be one of the more debate-worthy ice cream flavors out there, it's not the most bizarre. They've come across flavors such as cheddar cheese ice cream, flaming hot Cheetos ice cream, Carolina Reaper pepper ice cream, also produced in Scotland, in case you want to start passing judgment on the entire country, and Taylor ham ice cream. Suddenly the thought of all of this is trash. White people, stop experimenting with things, okay?
I'm getting hot and cold at the same time. Cheetos ice cream, what's happening here? Flaming hot Cheetos ice cream.
You know that we covered on White People News that the doctor for George H. Bush, I guess, got killed riding his bike?
Yes.
They now have a suspect. They named the suspect, and they think it was the vengeful son of a woman who died. Oh, the doctor's operating table 20 years ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah, for the few,
he kept that same energy, didn't he?
For the few people that listened to our review of The Killing of a Sacred Deer, me and Justin did for Spoiled Movie Reviews, this is like the plot of that movie to some extent. Like, that's wild. Dr. Mike Hawksnett, 65, was shot dead as he rode his bike in Texas on July 20th. He was gunned down by another cyclist who, until Wednesday, remained unidentified. Now police in Houston say the man is Joseph James Pappas. They have issued an arrest warrant which blames him for the Hawksnett's murder and are actively looking for him. Police believe him to be suicidal, armed with multiple weapons. There was a lot of planning that went into this. There was a lot of planning and sadly some skill. The Houston police chief, Art Acevedo, I had to give him credit. I mean, shit.
I mean, he didn't miss.
He pulled up, rocked by a baby. I mean, it was like something out of New Jack City.
Right.
He said Pappas is suicidal, armed, and dangerous. Police went to his home on Tuesday night, but he was not there. They are now desperate to find him. We need to find this guy. This man is dangerous. This man is capable. This man has some skills. We know that had a lot, had firearms more than once. Oh, he had a lot. Okay. It's not clear how they can identify him as a suspect. So, all right. Let's get into sword ratchetness and get out of here. A woman allegedly threatens her husband with a katana sword.
Oh shit.
A West Plains woman has been charged with felony unlawful use of a weapon after reportedly making a stabbing motion with a sword about 3 inches from the chest of her husband, with whom she was having a verbal altercation. Christina Marie Silcox was arrested around 11:30 p.m. July 22nd. She was detained and then released on $15,000 bond. Where is, who finds the money in those situations? Like, if I'm your husband, I gotta go up there with $1,500 after you just fucking tried to kill me? I don't think so.
Duh.
Officer Jacob Russo reported he responded to July 22nd at a home on Lantern Road. The scene of the altercation, the alleged victim said Silcox started yelling at him while she was holding an unsheathed katana a few inches from him. He said she made a stabbing motion with the sword. Silcox also reportedly told the victim that she was sick of him meddling with her life and he feared she was going to cause him physical harm. I mean, I feel like husbands and wives should meddle in each other's lives if possible. I feel like that's allowable. But maybe I'm tripping.
Right.
All right, guys, that's it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Thursday is when we're doing Ballsy Sports, so that's tomorrow morning. And Friday should be the nerd off, Friday afternoon, for all you nerds. So, we'll see. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.